Hi, I'm Guy.
And I'm Alex, and we are back for Season 2.
What can I get you two?
I'll take a pint of Guinness.
And I'll take a pint of Woodford's Wherry.
You know, it's almost time at the bar.
And this is the Last Call Podcast. Yes, the Last Call Podcast is back for Series 2, and it's bigger and better than ever.
Yeah. I don't know what to say. I've lost everything.
Yes, no. Yes is good.
Okay.
I like that you agree. Is it better? We haven't thought that much about it.
So far,
it's so far,
not,
no.
It's not much better.
It is just as terrible as usual.
Yeah. But we're back.
What's new? What's new this series, Guy? Tell the ladies and gentlemen what's new.
What's new this series? We are both a little bit older, a little bit wiser. We've edged ever closer to death. We've got some great things happening.
That's good, flim-flam. That's good. And there exists in the world now Last Call Podcast merchandise.
I can't believe it.
There are two items, two t-shirts, both with our logo on them. One is owned by you and one is owned by me.
Mm.
And they are pretty snazzy.
They are very good. We'll put a picture of them up on our Instagram and Twitter. But they're great, great t-shirts. I would say you could wear them for any occasion. That's the beauty of them.
Yeah, they're formal without overstating themselves. You know what I mean? You could go to the Oscars in one and equally could pass out in a ditch and look equally fashionable in a Last Call Podcast t-shirt. So maybe if we get a good reaction on social media to these t-shirts, we might even be giving some away later in the series, so you can stay tuned. Plowing ahead. I do have a discussion topic that might be quite a sore spot for people, especially over the last few months. I wanted to talk to you about hangovers.
Mm.
Especially I'm sure everyone's had their fair share.
After New Year's, I think this is topical.
Oh, God. My New Year's Day hangover was particularly rough.
What did you drink?
Ah, now this is the problem. There were shots. Not that I'm a huge shot fan, as I've said before. There was champagne.
Of course.
I don't really know. It was a mixture, and that's the problem, hangover-wise.
And you had a big hangover the next day.
What about you on New Year's Eve? What did you end up drinking?
Ended up drinking a gin and tonic. I think we had a bit of champagne. No, actually, we had quite a lot of champagne. I drank a whole bottle of white wine. Then we had a bit more champagne and a whiskey.
Oh, ended on the whiskey. Nice. Mm. But not so nice the next morning.
Well, a lot of people are going to hate me, but I felt fine the next day.
Ah, you see, you're one of these people. Not for long, my friend. It catches up with you.
I'm well aware. I woke up at 7 the next day and was ready to go. Felt fine. And this has been happening a lot recently, where I've had nights where I've drunk a lot and I've woken up the next day and just felt fine. And don't get me wrong. I know this window is shrinking. I'm well aware.
So every time you go out drinking, you don't know whether the window's shut or not. So it's now a huge gamble.
Every time you drink,
you don't know whether you're going to wake up feeling fine or if you'll have finally gone over that line where hangovers hit you like a ton of bricks.
Yeah. And it's scary because I can never fully enjoy something because I don't know what it's going to be like the next day.
Well, I thought on the podcast today, maybe we could help with that. And we could offer advice based on our personal experiences of the best way to deal with your standard issue hangover.
Okay.
Do you ever go to? Are you well practiced in the hangover routine?
So it used to be a McDonald's.
Oh, okay. Okay.
A McDonald's in the morning. But I would argue that made me feel worse.
See, Big Eat is on my hangover checklist. Okay. You got to feed a hangover.
I think you, I agree, but I think you got to feed it with the right stuff.
Yes.
Because I
agree too. McDonald's seems right. It's nice and stodgy.
It makes
nice
sense.
And meaty.
But then it just puts you out. And I feel like it makes that hangover shit worse as well.
That is also on my list.
What? Poop it out.
Yeah, you gotta take the hangover shit. You're never fully recovered until you get that done. My hangover list is sleep, water, painkillers, food, shit, shower.
Do you think the shits are always wet because your body gets to a point where you've drunk so much alcohol that it then has to process it as food?
No. And also, I didn't realise you were going to go into such explicit detail about your own feces, but I don't share that issue.
They're not wet.
I no.
Interesting.
Series 2, people! Bigger and better than ever.
We're off to a high class.
Guy is analysing his turds.
A high class start. So you're telling me when you've had a hangover, or you've drank the night before, it's the day after, and you're sat on the sofa, and you're telling me your stomach doesn't, like, blah, 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 blah.
You say my stomach rumbles? Yeah, I don't. Of course my stomach rumbles.
But I mean, like, it's a certain kind of rumble.
Is it?
Mm.
Is this something, have you spoken to anyone else about this? Is this something widely shared, or do you just have a dodgy stomach?
I think I might just have a dodgy stomach. No, I think there'll be other people that agree with me. But it's not in your stomach. It's in your the depths.
in the bowels.
Mm.
If anyone knows what Guy's talking about, please do tweet at us, I guess. We'll get in touch. Mm. Why not? We're at this level now.
But wouldn't you rather it be wet?
I don't know. Why are we talking about this? Okay. This is fucking gross.
Sorry.
But while we're on gross stuff, very quickly, a word about vomiting on a hangover.
I say do it. I say don't force it, but I say do it.
We're on two different sides. Well, I agree that you do feel better after throwing up. I do agree. But I got a big thing about trying not to vomit as much as possible. As part of being a grown-ass man, I realised that I vomit too much. And I was kind of like, this needs to stop. So about a year and a half ago, made the decision that I was going to make the effort to avoid vomiting as much as possible. My advice is, if you wake up and you feel like you're going to throw up, you've got to get back to sleep. Sleep through the worst of a hangover. Sleep through the worst of it. Pop some painkillers and sleep through as much of a hangover as you can.
Wake up, get moving.
Wake up and get moving? What, go for a run?
No, not necessarily go for a run, but get out of bed.
Oh, disagree. Sleep through what you can. Take the extra hour.
Just talked about me. Talked about you not wanting to vomit because a year and a half ago you're like, oh no, I'm going to stop being a man and not vomit.
I think I'm going to have another hour in bed. I don't feel very well.
The first thing you've got to do, fuck you by the way, but the first thing you've got to do on a hangover, first part of mentally dealing with a hangover is you have to write off your day.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Even if you feel better at 3 o'clock, it doesn't matter. Yeah. You didn't know that when you first woke up.
The next day is a write-off.
Call the doctors, tell them you're not coming, cancel your dates.
But I want this to be in an advice section to get people not to write their days off. That's what I would like. I would like someone to write in and be like, I took your advice and instead of...
And I was at CrossFit for 6 p.m.
Instead of curling up on the sofa and dying, I was able to get on with my day and I felt good. I didn't feel bad for drinking last night. I didn't feel guilty.
I go the other way. I think you've got to lean into the hangover. I'm not saying wallow.
I'm not saying...
But get yourself a little extra sleep. You earned it. If you wake up and your head hurts, you haven't slept enough. So get some sleep, get some water, cook yourself a big breakfast, write the day off and enjoy it. And if as you start to feel better, stick some films on, eat more food.
I can get on board with that.
A lot of water. I can't emphasize the amount of water you're going to need.
Water. I can get on board with writing the day off. I understand that. I get that.
that, and immediately it's a sense of relief.
Mate, yeah, you know,
first
yeah.
thing in the morning, you're there like, you know what, I don't have to deal with anything.
It relieves the pressure. I get that, and relaxes you. So I understand that. But I think the best thing you can do is if you wake up, just get out of bed as a minimum. If you fall asleep on the sofa, fine.
Will you allow people a blanket or duvet on the sofa?
Yeah, obviously. If you're right in
all
bed,
right, yeah, okay, fine, I'm with you on that.
Best kind of day is where you wake up, you're hungover, it's pissing with rain outside, and you can just sit down,
and do nothing.
Yeah, do nothing. Yeah. But I would still like people to be like, I was able to go out for a walk, or I knew I had to go to the shops to pick up more soap, and I was able to do that. Instead of, I can't move, I'm dying.
Well, if we're talking about hangover cure-alls, then we've got to talk about hair of the dog.
Mm. I've never really understood the logic.
So the name comes from some old expression that's like the hair of the dog that bites you is what cures you. It's some like witchcraft thing, I guess, a dog were to bite you and you were to go and find one of its hairs and rub it on the wound or something. I don't know. That's vaguely where it comes.
It would be a potion. It would be a already made potion with a little
hair
bit
of the dog. Hair. Sprinkle the hair of the dog in the potion. Basically, what they're saying is, you know, if alcohol knocks you down, you need alcohol to get you back up again. It's a fight fire with fire type situation. And I will tell you something. I buy it. I buy into hair of the dog. You just got to be sensible.
What do you have?
First of all, don't start straight away. That's foolish. If you wake up and start drinking beer, you will feel worse. So do all the things we said. Chill out. Eat the food. Drink the water. All that. But then, just to get you over the last hump, have something that doesn't taste like alcohol, but contains alcohol, and you will be good. I would recommend hooch or any other alcopop.
What, like WKD?
WKD. Well, WKD Blue is shite. Smirnoff Ice? Well, at least that's nice and lemony, and you could mistake that for lemonade. That's why I swear by hooch. Drink some hooch. It goes down easy. It's a nice cold fizzy drink, which is lovely on a hangover. Mm. And you will feel better.
But sweating out a hangover, that's a thing.
That's true, actually. That's not a bad way to do it. You got to be fucking hydrated, but the difference is when I say it, you know I'm thinking about cranking the heating up and putting another blanket on top of the duvet, whereas you clearly mean like going for a run or cycling or going to the gym. Mm.
That sounds horrible, by the way, just being sat there with the heating cranked up and two blankets on you.
Oh, I don't go by the sweat out of the hangover method anymore, but if I had to, I'd do it that way as opposed to exercise. And if I was going to exercise, I'd go cardio over anything else.
Oh yeah, I wouldn't lift weights hungover.
No,
I'd probably shit myself.
You are straight on the vomit comet then.
Also, this is from experience. I also wouldn't play a team sport hungover where people are relying on you to do things,
to do something, or to say not throw up.
Well, I didn't shunny, but I wasn't. I was there, but I wasn't present, if you know what I mean.
No, I know what you mean.
So, our team was scored on a couple of times because I just was not there.
Just wandering aimlessly around.
More or less.
Team spots. No that team spots. That we can agree on. It's hard to agree on what the right thing is to do, but we can agree on some wrong things to do. No team sports. No weightlifting. I wouldn't go on any roller coasters.
No.
I'd avoid raw eggs.
I wouldn't go to a event or family event and tell them that I'm hungover, because all you're going to be doing
for
the day is just, oh, he's hungover. Just water for him.
Have you recently ruined a family event?
Haven't ruined anything. Don't just suddenly jump to ruin.
I'm not saying that, but it just sounds like a. This sounds like no, this is very specific.
You're telling me that you've never experienced with our parents.
Here's the trick, and I say this to some of my team all the time: don't tell me you're hungover.
Yeah, that's the worst thing you can do.
If someone comes to work and they drop a load of glasses, they're like, "Oh God, you dropped a load of glasses." This happens quite a lot, so clean it up and let's crack on. Whereas if they come in and go, "Oh, I'm so hungover," and then drop a load of glasses.
Mm.
You're like, well, you're obviously hungover, so you're being shit. Just don't tell anyone.
Yeah. Okay, there
and
you go.
In our family, you're more likely to get roasted. And especially, never tell your friends you're hungover if you can avoid it, because that's how you get people clapping in your ears, screaming and shouting, and people jostling you around. The classic joke, do you want a shot of tequila?
Yeah. Okay, so no team sports, no weightlifting, no roller coasters, no telling people you're hungover. Done. There you go. Avoid those things and your hangover will be cured.
Well, I'll tell you what. If anybody has a better hangover tip or a cautionary tale, then send it to us. Email us at lastcallinbox@gmail.com or tweet at us at lastcall_pod. And we will come back to this next week and see if anyone can offer any better tips.
What's your worst hangover story?
I don't think I have any particularly terrible hangover stories. I think I've always been they're always the same level of bad, but I've been fairly sensible. I think my big thing is always waking up with a hangover and always have immediately write the day off.
Yeah.
And I think that saves you from a lot more problems than you'd think. What about yours? You've got an awful hangover story.
There was one time in first year where it was a toga party and I literally did not go out in anything apart from a bed sheet, my pants, socks and shoes. And I was staying at a mate's, but I went home for afters with some other mates in another house. So I basically went back to the wrong house, had afters, slept there, woke up in the morning, had no clothes with me. So I had to get an Uber. And for some reason, the Uber that picked me up was a huge van.
Oh, no.
And I double checked and made sure it wasn't an Uber XL. It was just one of those one times. So it was just me sat in this massive van and he'd put like the middle seats down.
Oh yeah.
So I was sat dead middle at the back of this van. He was sat in the front and we just didn't talk to each other at all. And I was just in a toga.
Yeah, I get why he didn't want to talk to you.
But
because he either was very confused or he knew exactly what had gone on and didn't want to hear about it.
I didn't want to talk to him about it. But I forgot how to do my toga. I'd forgotten how to do it. Because I remember I turned up the night before at Pre's. And I hadn't done it right. And I had to get someone to do it for me. And then I didn't know how to do it. So I sort of had the bed sheet across my chest. I kind of looked like a woman who'd just gotten out of the shower and put a towel around her chest.
Was it a white bed sheet?
Yeah, it was a white bed sheet.
So you kind of looked a little bit like a bride.
Sort of, yeah. And then he took me back to my mate's house. I got dressed and went home.
See, that's not too... As hangover stories go, that's not too bad.
I think that's what they usually are, though. Like, if someone was like, "Oh, I've had a horrendous hangover, I threw up so much, there was blood," that's just sad.
Whatever you did to yourself the night before, you fucked it.
No
one made a series of poor choices.
It's always the bad hangover stories are always the ones where you've just woken up in a bad situation, or played rugby the next day and lost the game for everybody.
You know what is good on a hangover, actually, and it's a segue into our next topic. A nice cup of coffee.
Mmm.
genuinely, that's actually a good cup of black coffee on a hangover.
Yeah, no, I completely agree.
And we wanted to talk about coffee anyway, because we both drink a lot of it. You have got properly into your coffee over the last sort of year or so.
Yeah.
I thought you might like to tell the ladies and gentlemen about your morning cup of joe.
Well, recently I invested in the Mac Daddy of coffee machines, which is the one that you put your beans in, it grinds your beans.
Why are you laughing? I thought you might have a brand name.
Oh.
I thought you might be like, I bought the Frappuccino X 1000.
Sorry.
But you went, I invested in the Mac Daddy of coffee machines. The one you put the beans in.
Whoops. It's the DeLonghi Cafe Forza or something, I don't know.
Nice.
Very nice. So yeah, you put your beans in, it grinds your beans, makes your coffee, you froth your own milk. But it's great because you can change the temperature that you want your coffee. You can change the amount of coffee you get. You can change how strong the beans are. So I think like how fine they get ground. How fine they get ground.
Ground.
And it's great. And I honestly haven't looked back since. I think it's the best thing in my life. Apart from my girlfriend, obviously.
And you, what's your go-to? You're making yourself a coffee. Your standard is, what are you drinking?
Probably a flat white.
Nice. Have you got the milk down?
I haven't got the milk down.
A moment to learn, a lifetime to master.
Mm.
The glossy milk.
Do you know how to do it?
I can, but I can pretty much just do hearts and feathers in terms of latte art. And that's from years ago when I worked for a fast casual dining chain that was open for breakfast and did about 150 coffees every single morning. So you just had to get in the habit of making coffees for 2 hours non-stop. It's hard. It's fucking hard. And I know there's loads of fancy-ass people out there who do this shit and draw fucking Mona Lisa in the coffee and everything.
That's
and I know they're going to hear this and be like, actually, it's not that difficult. It's really easy. It is fucking hard, all right? It is hard. It's not a natural skill. It doesn't equate to anything else you'd normally do.
It's really hard.
It does. Suck. Well, I have an espresso machine. You put the pot in, the coffee comes out. You can have espresso, you can have black coffee. It doesn't have a milk thing on it.
Doesn't have the option. But you've got a separate milk frother, haven't you?
I do have a Arachino. That froths the milk. If you're desperate for froth milk. But I tend to drink just coffee with a splash of milk anyway. As is. And sometimes syrup in the festive season.
Yeah, I don't mind syrups. It depends on the coffee I'm having though.
If you're having a flavorful coffee,
Yeah, there's no point putting syrup.
There's no point adding syrup, or if you're just having a bog standard coffee, whack a little bit of moaning gingerbread in there.
Disgusting.
Yeah, I made the mistake of buying a liter of gingerbread syrup in November. Not as much of that has been used as I thought it would. And the forecast for 2021 is gingerbread. Coupled with the fact that I'm still drowning in mince pies.
Yeah, well, I went shopping today, mince pies, 75p.
Each?
Pack of six.
Jesus.
Mm.
Well, I'm not buying more mince pies. I'm still working through the mince pies from Christmas.
How many did you get?
I guess there would have been around 20 to 25 in the house.
There's four of you.
Yeah, I'm really the only person who eats the mince pies. My girlfriend will have one every now and then.
That's...
When I say I'm working my way through, I mean I'm just eating.
That's
or anyone else has a chance.
That's a box each. So it's just you eating mince pies. How do you have your mince pies, by the way? Do you warm them through?
Right. So, if I'm in a hurry...
Oh, yeah.
then yeah, sure. I'm just going to eat it out of the casing. I don't have an issue with the mince pie as it comes. But if you've got the time, put it in a bowl, take it out of the tin, take it out of the fucking tin, and just warm it gently in the microwave a little bit, and then serve it with any number of creamy accoutrements.
Oh, yeah.
Clotted cream, I can highly recommend. Ice cream, also delicious. Custard, can't ever go wrong with custard. Or just plain old double cream.
Creme fraiche?
Oh, creme fraiche, yeah. If you've got creme fraiche, clotted cream. Creme fraiche is a great shout, actually.
Did you have those over Christmas? Did you have those salty caramel ones?
Salty caramel what?
Mince pies. Salty caramel mince pies.
No, I didn't.
What are you doing?
What are they? Are they still raisins and stuff, or are they just...
No. So, yes.
Your voice go then.
Yeah. There's still raisins. There's still minced meat in there. But then just between the crust and the minced meat is just a layer
of salted caramel.
Of a salted caramel. What's the word? Ganache.
That does sound good.
It was. It's delicious.
I'll keep an eye out and see if I can find some reduced 75 pence salted caramel mince pies. Ah!
I forgot what we were talking about. Coffee.
Yes, coffee. Irish coffees, where do we sit?
Oh, always delicious.
Do you have a go-to? Because obviously an Irish coffee is a coffee made with... an alcoholic coffee made with Irish whiskey and cream. Yeah. But... a liqueur coffee can be pretty much anything.
So
you have a specific favourite?
Tia Maria.
You like Tia Maria liqueur coffee?
Tia Maria liqueur coffee.
I'm quite big on Irish coffees with whiskey. Or, failing that, amaretto.
I love
a Disaronno Irish coffee. You're not a fan?
No.
Do you not like amaretto?
I hate amaretto.
How did I not know this?
Because it's... what is it again?
Almonds.
Oh, God. It's like marzipan. I hate marzipan.
No, I love amaretto. Marzipan coffee. You don't like marzipan? Who doesn't like marzipan? It's like the most universally loved...
I don't think so.
Sweet. Tell you what I had a while back, actually. Speaking of old school. Pink and white nougat. Nougat? Nugget. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh,
I'm going to go with nougat? It's French, isn't it? Nougat? Nougat? I'm going to say nougat. You know what I'm talking about? Pink and white bars. About yay big.
Oh, drumsticks.
No. What are the drumsticks? The fuck are you talking about, drumsticks? No, pink and white. Ah.
Pink and white. Oh, are they the... And then they cut... They're like a marzipan loaf, and they've got the squares. Pink and white squares.
No, that's a Battenberg. What's he on about? This. I got a picture for
you. Oh, yeah. I remember those.
Battenberg. Hey, how great is... Oh, you're not going to like Battenberg.
You could get, like, that kind of stuff. How great is Battenberg?
I was going to say how great is Battenberg, and then I remember that you don't enjoy...
Yeah, marzipan. Stupid question.
So probably don't like Battenberg.
But Nougat's good. Do you remember you used to be able to... Whoa. Used to be able to get that.
Do you remember?
Used to be able to get that at, county fairs and stuff. Do you remember peanut brittle?
Ah, yes, I do remember peanut brittle.
How fucking good was peanut brittle?
Just fucking... I love peanut brittle. They still sell peanut brittle.
That was fucking good, man.
Yeah, that is a teeth breaker. And the amount of fudge, while we're on the subject of county fairs... I'm talking about the Aylsham show, the Norfolk show, and anyone else's regional shows. The amount of fudge. Every third stall.
Incredible.
It was fudge, cheese, beer, tat. On repeat.
Oh, I miss those, you know.
Favourite thing I ever got from the Norfolk show was a teeny tiny piece of foil about the size of a pen lid. And it had a little paperclip type thing. It was rolled up. It was a little tiny rolled up bit of what looked like paper with a paperclip holding it rolled up. And when you took it apart, it like bounced and became a magic wand.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. Because you were in
weeks of fun.
You were into Marvin's Magic, weren't you?
Oh, as a kid, yes. Is it Marvin?
I think it's Marvin. The set, you might be right. The magic sets.
Yeah, the magic sets. When I was a kid, they were the bollocks.
You were quite good at that. I don't know why you didn't follow that through. I didn't know why.
Because here's the thing with magic.
You could be Dynamo.
Is if you buy the kits and do the tricks, it's you can do basic level magic very easily. Because you've got all the funny, the rigged cards and the this and the that. And the egg cup with the half egg and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
The problem is that as soon as you want to go even a little bit further, you suddenly have to have a huge amount of skill and talent and practice and sleight of hand. It goes from you really don't need anything.
You say this, but I remember you used to sit up in your room for ages, and then you would come down and you could do like the tricks that made the cards disappear and. You were quite good at magic.
That is true, but that is also I still occasionally do that little trick where you hold the card and it disappears, and I still fuck it one time out of three, I'd say.
Yeah, but you see, because that's not you're not focusing on it, you're not honing your skill.
We were talking about coffee.
Mm.
Now I feel like you're my magic sensei.
Yeah. Wax on, wax off.
Suddenly, I've got a lack of focus.
I'm just saying, it'd be
being
cool.
Magician does not pay well. Whereas,
unless you get big, but you could be part of the magic circle. How cool would that be?
I think the dictionary definition of the magic circle, and a few of my high school bullies might agree, is that it is not cool.
Okay, tell that to David Blaine.
And I can also tell you this from personal experience. You cannot buy your way out of an ass-kicking with a magic trick.
Do you know David Blaine did a trick recently? And no one gave a fuck. Like,
nobody gave a fuck
cared.
When he started. He doesn't do magic. No, I don't know what it is he does. He just does bullshit.
I remember when he did, like, the just sitting in water for ages or living in a box. In France, and everyone could see. I remember when he did that.
He lived in a glass box. But I was like, I don't see how this
that
is magic.
Was big news.
I was like, you're just a fucking weirdo.
This guy did something where he got like a bunch of balloons and floated through the sky, and genuinely no one cared. No one gave a fuck. There was a man just floating around with balloons. That's insane to me. I don't know how talked about that.
I think people are sick of it. Not cool stuff happening, but they're sick of stuff. They're sick of stuff being filmed. They're sick of weird things happening in public for TV shows and the internet. I think everyone's just given up. Nobody cares. They now no longer know whether something's being done because it's a huge BBC One primetime stunt or if it's for some little fucker's TikTok.
Yeah. Oh,
I think
man.
Every time they see something weird, they think, I've got to get the fuck out of here or there's going to be a shot of my face looking surprised all over the internet and I'm going to be a meme in 6 hours' time.
TikTok's weird. Bunch of teenagers dancing.
TikTok is, and I want this on the record as being my position, shit. It is shit. That being said, you can follow my pub on TikTok.
Your pub is on TikTok.
It is, yeah. It's not. I don't own the pub. I run it on behalf of very large owners who want all their pubs on TikTok. And I've been resisting this idea for a long time. And I have had genuine moments of disagreement with my boss, who's very, very keen for us to get on TikTok. So I've delegated it. I've given it to my assistant to do. It's her job. She set it up. She's going to do the videos. But yes, my pub is on TikTok. I think it's stupid. I think the app is stupid.
Yep.
I don't think there's anything to be gained. And yeah, it's just awful. It's just an awful app, presumably run by awful people. And the people on it are awful as well. If you have TikTok, you are committing a crime against God.
Nice. That was a nice wide net you cast there to offend as many people as possible.
Oh, I stand by it. Every now and then, my girlfriend loves TikTok. She's legitimately addicted. If she has a spare 20 seconds, she will get on TikTok. And she shows me them. And I'm not trying to be a dick. I genuinely don't understand them.
No, there's sort of this weird... So I like a few TikToks because obviously I was heavily into Vine.
I had Vine.
Yeah, I had Vine. I used to love that, just going through the Discover page and shit like that. So there's a few people who have obviously moved on to TikTok, and you can find TikToks that are very similar to Vines.
Yeah.
That are just funny, good, witty. But then there's a side, like, I don't understand the weird dancing. I mean, this is going to make us sound so old. I don't understand the dancing.
My day, we danced the two-step.
And I don't understand this sort of weird, ironic thing. Like, someone's being ironic.
I don't get the captions. I keep explaining this to her. I'm really trying not to be a dick about this. But she'll show me a clip of someone with a towel on their head.
Oh yeah, that's weird.
There'll
be a woman.
Some Taylor Swift song in the background, and the caption will say something like, "My bae," or when she's all up in the air fryer. And then it'll cut to something else, and it'll be like, and it'll be me, will be just be the caption, and it'll be the same guy without the towel on his head, singing along to the song.
Yeah.
And I don't get it. She's tried to explain it to me, but I'm like, not only, it's not that I don't understand why it's funny. I don't understand why it's funny, but that's not what I mean. I genuinely, from the ground up, do not understand what is happening.
Yeah, I don't get why that's funny.
I get the towel is meant to be hair.
Yeah.
But the song... Oh, I can't even...
That's what genuinely gets me, is the fact that guys are putting... towels, nothing wrong with putting a towel on your head, but
no, by all means, knock yourself out.
Guys are putting a towel on their head to be a woman and play a woman. Like, if they were in a wig, I'd sort of get it. I get it a bit more. They're sort of committing a little bit more.
It's just laziness. It's low production value.
Or they'll just put a napkin on their head or something. Late 2000s, so between like 2005 and 2010. Can you imagine if you made a video of you with just a towel on your head pretending to be a woman, you know, being like, or pretending to be your girlfriend? Instead of, this is the other thing, right? Instead of just getting your girlfriend to be in the video... Instead of just being like my girlfriend and getting her to be in the video, you put the towel on your head and you pretend to be your girlfriend. And I assume your girlfriend's probably filming this.
Just buy a wig was what I'd say. Just commit. Just commit to the bit.
Commit
to
the bit.
For God's sake, have some respect as a content producer and buy a wig. They're not expensive. Or at least something that looks like a wig. Telling me you haven't got a dry mop knocking around?
No, people do that. I've seen the mop.
All right, I respect the mop. Mop on their They've head. Made an artistic choice there. But the towel is just laziness, and it doesn't make any fucking sense.
Well, the towel, actually, rewind, the towel could actually make a bit of sense.
Oh, because it could be the girlfriend with the towel on.
On.
Ah, the towel isn't meant to be hair, the towel just is a towel. You know what it is? It might literally just be for differentiating between who's who. Because I did, and this is going to make me sound like a massive dork, but we already talked about how I used to sit in my room and practice disappearing cards, so I think we're past that fucking point. When I made vines that involved a conversation, I had to do the same thing, where you had to be two people for the purposes of the vine. But I would have one wears glasses, one didn't, so you knew who.
Do you know what
who.
Has happened here?
What?
Is for 10 minutes, we've actually laid into TikTok, and then after that 10 minutes, it's all sort of made a bit more sense.
Yeah. I'm not conceding that TikTok is good, because it's not. It is shit. And but you know what?
Everything we just talked about was pretty pointless. But no, I agree, TikTok is terrible. And it's toxic, man. Going on a little,
it is toxic.
On a little bit of a serious note, it's YouTube at the moment, TikTok, it's toxic. It's absolutely
it's
toxic.
A bad place
you go on shit there and...
It's bad for kids.
Yeah.
I don't give a fuck what anyone says.
100%.
It's bad for kids. It's just...
Go back to the days where it used to be going on there and watching...
A jaunty tune on the wireless.
Going back on and watching cat fails or, you know, something.
Oh, those were the days. Classic YouTube, Magical Classic Trevor YouTube. And the like.
Yeah, fucking cows with guns.
Oh, cows with guns.
Cows with guns.
The Ultimate Showdown.
The Ultimate Showdown.
Llamas with hats. Yeah, that was those were the early days of content creation. Before, people started making money off it.
Yeah, and all this fucking clickbait shit.
And also before, I mean, I swear, I might be wrong about this and I might be misremembering, but I swear, we firstly didn't have smartphones, which is a huge help, because it meant that if you're going to be a content creator, you needed software or hardware. You had to buy something to do it. And secondly, I know we had phones in high school.
Yeah.
But I swear, millennial kids are getting pumped out of the womb and sign in an iCloud contract.
Yeah.
Every kid's got a fucking smartphone now.
We need to change.
And I never thought
podcast.
I'd be this guy. If you said 5 years ago, if you found me 5 years ago and said, in 5 years' time, you're going to be bitching about kids having smartphones, I'd say, that's a bit of a stereotype of grumpy old men.
Yeah.
I'm sure that's not going to happen. It's getting to me now.
That's exactly what we need to change. The name
Grumpy Old Men or Kids Having Smartphones?
No, I would say change the name of the podcast.
What, to Grumpy Old Men?
Grumpy Old Men. Because we've just complained about young people.
We have, and you know what? I think it's time we changed it up. I think it's time we got into something positive.
Go on.
All right, and I have just the thing. So, we put out on our Twitter earlier today, asking some of the wonderful podcasts that follow us if they had any questions for us, and a few of them got in touch, so I have we'll go for three questions here from other podcasts that they would like to ask us. So the first one is from the Insanely Dangerous Retro Pod Show.
What a name.
Which is an 80s 90s podcast with two hosts who describe themselves as a stoic encyclopedia and an excitable Wally.
Love
and
that.
They sort of talk all things retro, specifically 80s and 90s, and swear a lot.
That's awesome.
What more could you want? You can find their podcast by going to linktree.ee/TIDR Podshow. That's linktr.ee/TIDR Podshow, the Insanely Dangerous Retro Pod Show, and they want to know, and this is multiple choice, which is the superior beverage?
Go on.
A, homebrew. B, real ale. C, cold lager.
That's a great question.
I thought that.
What's the?
I know what my answer is going to be for now.
What's your answer?
My answer is going to be B, real ale. Nice cellar temperature, flat brown beer.
Hmm. See, that's where you lose me.
What? Flat?
Yeah.
Or warm?
Warm.
Well, 11 to 13 degrees is ideal cellar temperature. So that's not that warm.
I don't know. I'm going to say cold lager.
You're going to say cold lager. The reason I might change mine is because I was given a homebrew kit for Christmas. And I will be homebrewing. But just not for a while, because the only room I can homebrew in, I've been explicitly told that I can't homebrew in the flat, in the communal areas or in the bedroom, which is fair enough. I get you don't want a 40-pint vat of homebrew going. So I will be doing it in my what I call my shed. It's more of an attic room, but it is unconverted and uninsulated. So there is no temperature control. It's fucking freezing. And you need quite good temperature control if you're going to homebrew beer. So I need to sort that problem before I can. But once I've brewed some home beer, I might change my mind. It might be better.
Okay, fair enough. That's cool. Sounds good. Can't wait to try it.
Ooh, so into your... I will send a bottle down.
I'd like that. Why would you have flat beer, though? Hey, before we get into this, I like ale.
Mm-hmm.
I do. But superior? Superior?
Yeah, I'd say so. Firstly, it's cheaper. That's my first argument.
Okay.
It's not what makes it superior, but I would like to put out there that 9 times out of 10, if you go into a pub and order their most expensive real ale and their most expensive beer, the price gap will be at least a pound up.
This is the stuff you crank.
This is, yeah, you got the hand pull on the bar.
That's already stupid.
Why?
Can they not do something where they just pull the thing down and it just...
Well, the reason...
Why have we got to crank
The reason it? Fizzy beer comes straight out of the tap is because it's pressurized.
Yeah. But what's stopping... This beer is flat, so it's not fizzy. Brilliant. Yeah. Great. What's stopping from just pulling the thing down and it just coming out?
Because it would need to be... But does it
have to be? If I turn on a hose, it's not fizzy water coming out of the hose, is it?
Yeah, I know, but what do you think the pump is connected to down below? It's not connected to a water
full
main.
Of beer.
Yeah, no, there's a tube full of beer connected to a barrel.
But yeah.
You have to push something. A hose is connected to all of the water in the world. Is it connected to the water main?
If you've got to crank it,
yeah.
Similar to a hose.
If you put one end of the hose in a bucket and the other end of the hose you just held, it wouldn't just suddenly come washing out.
Yeah, but it's not pressurized. A hose isn't pressurized. What?
No.
But what I'm saying is, what is stopping it from having something similar to the way I turn on a hose and it fucking sprays water to... Turning on the, pulling the hand down for the ale tap, and something pushing that through.
Well, in a way, it does, because there is actually a gas in the lines.
But
just a little bit to push,
cranking
to push it. Because if you didn't have the gas in the lines, then it would be torture, because you'd have to pump all the air out of the line to get the beer going, and then it would all drift back. So there is a little bit of gas in the line to hold the pressure. But if you put too much gas in the line, then you're going to end up making the beer fizzy.
I feel like this could go on for a while, but I just feel like there's... I feel like there's a way that you can just... Same as a tap.
Why do you keep saying tap?
Because you turn on a tap... When I'm washing my hands, I'm not cranking the tap, am I? I just turn it on and water comes out and it's not fizzy water. I don't have sparkling water. Yeah. On my hand.
But again, that is connected to an infinite amount of water. It's connected to the water main, so all that can come.
So why? Okay. So why can't you have a beer?
Also,
why can't you have a beer keg that has water running through the whole. So it's, I'm guessing it's one line, one keg, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. You can have two, you can have several lines to one keg, but.
Okay, yeah, fine. Why can't we get something that means the water, the beer is always moving?
Moving where? You're drawing a circle in the air. What is this circle?
So it comes out of the keg.
Yeah.
Okay. Goes up, goes into a tube. Okay. Yeah. Part of that tube is connected to the tap.
Yeah.
So let's say the water, and then let's say the tube, part of the tube goes into the tap, then it carries on and then goes back into the keg. So you've got two lines going into the keg for one tap. Once I pull the tap for the beer, it goes into the tap, fills my pipe. Awesome. I put it back. It just carries on running. So it's like what you're saying, a water main, but it's a beer main.
But what's pushing it?
Air? I don't know. What pushes water?
Yeah, but if you keep pushing gas taps, into it. What?
What pushes the water around bathroom taps?
It's all running water, isn't it?
So why can't we have running beer?
I mean, in theory, your question makes sense. And I'll tell you the answer. The easiest way to do it is to have the barrel above where the pint glass is in the building. Because then gravity is on your side.
Okay, yeah.
And you might go into proper real ale pubs where they have the barrels chocked and on the back bar or on a rack conditioning.
Yeah.
And then you can literally, you turn the tap on the barrel and it just pours out like anything else would. The cranking is to do with getting it out of the cellar. You've got to lift it up.
Right.
I know I haven't answered your question. I know I haven't.
I just think if there's any engineers listening, I think there's something to be done.
That's actually a great idea. If there's anyone who knows anything about beer tech, cellar service, any engineers, why don't you settle this for us? Because neither of us really know what you're trying to say.
Don't get me wrong. I'm not qualified to be talking about. I'm just thinking there's got to be a way.
Hey, if there is, let me know and make my life a lot easier.
Okay.
So in answer to your question, Insanely Dangerous Retro Pocho, Guy reckons lager, I reckon real ale. They said, it's obvious, but it's a test of our mettle, so I'm guessing they're weirdly into homebrew.
Yeah, I reckon they're into homebrew.
I've got another one here from one of our newest Twitter friends, the Cider and Whiskey Podcast.
I hope they haven't listened to us doing the whiskey tasting.
I hope they haven't either.
Yeah.
Because that was a shit show. In fact, before we get into this, should we take a moment to apologise for the ill thought out idea that was the Last Call Podcast sophistication half hour? Anyone who listened to part two of the Birthday Bonanza, we can't apologise enough. We thought it would be nice to take some whiskey, call it the sophistication half hour. What ended up happening is my mic cut out, so the audio was awful, and then we just necked back five whiskeys.
I was listening to that the couple of weeks ago, and you can hear how drunk I am by the end of that podcast.
Yeah, that was a huge mistake in retrospect. I'm not saying we'll never do a sophistication half hour again. I just think we should, A, plan it better, and B, try and actually be sophisticated about it.
Yep.
That was a huge mistake. But you live and learn. But on the subject of whiskey, this question comes in from the Cider and Whiskey Podcast. You can check out their podcast at Linktree. Should we be using Linktree? Everybody seems to be using Linktree.
Oh, shit.
Linktree. That's linktr.ee/ciderandwhiskey. And tune in to hear Scarlett and Daryl enjoy, presumably, cider and whiskey. Their question is this. Which city is the best to go drinking? Multiple choice. We've got four choices. You ready?
Yep.
London, Liverpool, Belfast, Dublin.
Ooh.
Now, you've been to Dublin.
Yeah.
We've obviously both been to London.
Yeah.
I don't believe either of us have been to Belfast.
Nope.
And I've been to Liverpool, but I was too young to drink when I went.
Why did you go to Liverpool?
I went for a British Chamber of Commerce Young Chamber meeting.
Ooh! Sorry, so, recap, Your Highness.
Practiced magic in my bedroom, made vines where I talked to myself, and was part of the Young Chamber. All right, are you happy? Are you fucking happy? And I met George Osborne, former Chancellor of the Exchequer, and didn't shake his hand.
Did he offer?
No, I offered. He didn't shake my hand. I didn't know who he was. He wasn't. He was the Shadow Chancellor at the time. Anyway, we're way off topic. The point is, we're going to have to automatically rule out Liverpool and Belfast from this question.
Yeah, we could get our listeners' opinions who have been to Belfast and Liverpool.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I might put that up as a Twitter poll, actually.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's between London and Dublin. I've never been to Ireland. I would obviously vote London out of those four. But Guy, if you had to go London or Dublin for a night drinking.
I think I would have to say, well, look, that it's for me, it's probably Dublin because It's Guinness everywhere.
Guinness, yeah,
and it's the best Guinness you'll ever have, and it's not that expensive as well. That's where it sort of does sort of pit London to the post. Although drinking in London, having a night out in London, is quite fun when you're just off your face. You're walking back to a train station, and you're just surrounded by like the landmarks.
That's quite true.
That's,
yeah, actually,
it's a bit surreal because you're just a bit like, I mean, if you're from London, it's probably like whatever, but you're sort of staggering home and you look up and you're suddenly on Tower Bridge and you're drunk. So it seems like it's mahoosive and you're like, Jesus Christ, I've just walked into a castle. But I think I might say Dublin because Irish people are great. London people,
not so great.
Not so great.
Fucking dicks in general. If we're tarring them all with the same brush,
It's cheap and it's Guinness heaven.
Well, I believe that Scarlett and Daryl from the Cider and Whiskey podcast are Irish, and I'll tell you why. Because they spell whiskey with an E,
which is
the hallmark of Irish and American whiskies are spelled with E, whereas Scottish are without. There you go. There's a fun fact for you.
Okay.
Yeah, which Dublin, then. Brings us on to our third and final question, and it's from our old friends, the Little Bitch Podcast.
Hey.
And they are trying to stir up trouble as ever. If you haven't listened to the Little Bitch Podcast, absolutely get on board. They're bitches and they bitch. It's just two guys from Sheffield having a bitch. And you can find them at, yes, you guessed it, Linktree/ Lil B Podcast.
We're doing something wrong.
We should be on Linktree. Oh, dear. That's linktr.ee/ Lil B Podcast. The little bitches have asked us, who's the biggest bitch?
You.
I see, I was going to say you straight off the bat.
Evidence?
I think I moan and complain. I think you bitch. But I don't think what I do is bitching.
When you say, what do you mean by bitch? Because I love a little bit of gossip.
Who doesn't love gossip?
And to have a little bit of a, did you hear about this person? Can't believe it. What a dickhead. Kind of bitch. I like bitching
about
people.
I'm talking more bitching as in, just about life, about things.
That's you, then.
No, I complain and I moan. You bitch
everything.
About things. Yeah, I'm not saying I don't hate everything, but I feel like I moan more than I bitch. I think there's a whiny quality to bitching.
I don't know. I feel like I'm a little more... You and I have been in situations where I've had to say to you, don't say anything. Just leave it. Relax.
When was this?
Anytime we're together? No. I swear, there's definitely been time. Probably when you've come and visited me in London, there's probably been times when you've been ready to say something to someone and I've had to be like, leave it.
But I feel like a bitch wouldn't say anything. They'd leave it and then bitch afterwards. Maybe we're getting too bogged down in this. Maybe this is just about who moans and complains, in which case, fine, I will concede that I probably am the biggest bitch.
There is. I mean, take it from the TikTok.
You bitched about TikTok
yeah,
as
no,
well.
Yeah, no, don't get me wrong. I hate TikTok, but you hate TikTok.
I do, actually. I hate so much. Well, I think that's a good natural outro, and it proves to the guys of the Little Bitch Podcast that in our own ways, we're both kind of bitchy.
Well, I think that wraps things up for now.
In the meantime, you can keep up to date with everything we're doing by following us on Twitter at @lastcall_pod or checking out our new Instagram at @lastcall_pod_.
Well, that's time at the bar.
We'll finish our drinks and head home.
Same place next time.
I'll see you then.